If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tastesofchicago.com to order today.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listening Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of law and politics, which you watch me cover on television every day, into the fun world of theater. Sometimes you just need a break, don't you? So thanks for joining us here, both visually or auditorily, as you watch my chat with the stars of the new show in town called Anne Juliet. This was a show I did not get to see on Broadway because COVID and all sorts of other things that never happened, but I've been so excited to see this, so excited, in fact, that my morning coffee was enjoyed with my Anne Juliet mug. And joining us now, and I'm going to have you address the meaning of this, Romeo who. You've seen these mugs, I assume. Do you have the mugs?
I didn't even know those existed. I love those, actually.
Is this fabulous?
And I'll tell you, I have shirts with Romeo who on it, but I didn't know them.
Well, that's right. What's with the Romeo who, right? But it's not like it's like a different looking kind of mug, and that's why I bought it. I thought it was really cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just wanted to share. Now you have a demand to make for your next contract extension. Let me introduce you to our audience. Joining us is the guy who plays, actually, I'm going to do this almost in reverse order because people are expecting me to talk to Romeo, right? So yes, we have Romeo. And Michael Kanu is here. He plays Romeo in the show. Fabulous job as Romeo. But what people who, if they don't know this show, they may not understand, you get Shakespeare. You actually get Shakespeare himself and his wife, Anne Hathaway. And Corey Mock plays that role just fabulously so. So welcome to both of you. And I appreciate you joining me. Look, a lot of people have, I mean, I hadn't seen the show. I knew some about it. I learned stuff when I saw it last night that I didn't know. So, Corey, let me start with you as Shakespeare. Tell people about the show because it may not be what they think.
It may not be what they think. I think a lot of people are thinking heavy on the Shakespeare. There are Shakespeare themes throughout and a lot of the characters are used, but you don't have to be a Shakespeare fan or even a Romeo and Juliet fan to understand what's going on. It's loosely based on the ideas of Romeo and Juliet, with a very contemporary, modern setting using the top radio hits of the 90s and the 2000s.
And by the way, you are just off, I think, Corey, you're just off a roll with Merrily We Roll Along, where I think you work with my friend, Corey Tarhan, among others.
Yeah.
It took me forever to figure out that the name is Corey. Did you call him that?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Everybody goes with Corey, and he's like, Corey. But anyway, so congratulations on that. I know you've done Kinky Boots and all sorts of stuff. You toured in Wicked, so have you seen the movie? Let's get this out of the way.
So the production was kind enough. And Juliet, the general management, they bought out a theater for us after our show. When it came out that night, so it was like 11 o'clock showing. They bought out an AMC for us. The entire company, crew, cast, everybody, went to the AMC across the street from our theater in Buffalo, and we all watched it together, which was awesome. But a few of us were extra excited to see it. And we actually saw it like the day before, which is like the day before. It was like early release, like the day before at the same movie theater, the same number movie. It was like literally we sat in the same row. So I saw it actually twice in about 24 hours, which is hilarious. I love the show. I loved being a part of the show. I loved my time. I was on tour for a year. I was actually at the Palace in 2010.
Who was your Elphaba?
It was Jackie Burns.
Okay.
Who later went on to do the show on Broadway, was Idina Menzel's understudy, actually, in If Then, and went on to play that role as well. She's awesome and a good friend still. And I love that show so much. And it was really awesome to see the movie. We all enjoyed it.
And before Broadway in Chicago gets mad at me for why did you spend the whole time talking about Wicked? So I get to, although I will say we'll have to have a drink about this because I have Jessica Vosk's Elphaba makeup kit from that show and from Joel Gray. I actually have a green elixir bottle and he signed some copies of the Ozdust Ballroom tickets.
Very cool.
Wicked fan, Broadway fan. I have a lot of Broadway stuff here, but anyway, but that's another conversation. So Michael, let me come to you. By the way, I don't mean to keep you from chiming in. I assume you agree with everything Corey just said.
Absolutely. Great movie.
All right. Fabulous show. So, Michael, I'm not sure where to start with this question because of the way Romeo shows up, all the things that are happening, even the part of the story, because even I didn't quite know ahead of time, like what that was all about. So I will let you tell me. I never like to give spoilers away. I had the cast of Dear Evan Hansen with me once, and I said at the beginning, what spoilers shouldn't I give away? And one of them said, please don't say that Connor dies. I'm like, he dies in the first 3 seconds of the show, so I'm not quite sure why we're going to hide that.
Right.
But I learned from that. Don't give spoilers away. So, Michael, you tell me what you want about Romeo, and if you want, address this question of Romeo who, which appears on my very lovely mug.
Well, I think the show obviously picks up right at the end of typical Romeo and Juliet. And people are always asking, so is Romeo in it? What's the point? Like, is he, how do we know? How does he like tie into the story? And I always just tell people, you will know when Romeo's in the show. It's very apparent when Romeo makes an appearance in the musical. But Romeo is kind of like the secret of Anne Juliet. But he does have.
Oh, so good that I'm not giving that away.
Yeah. But that is kind of the, like,
allure.
Yeah. Well, I will say, in fact, to be honest, as I'm going through the show, there's another character in the show, Francois, and I just thought, well, maybe somehow this is good. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there because people just need to see the show. It's not what you think. Things happen that you don't expect.
And, basically, what you need to know is that Juliet has options, okay, beyond Romeo. But
there you go.
Together or not, you'll just have to see it and find out.
Exactly. So many options. We also get some characters in here. So I'm not like a Shakespeare aficionado. So like characters like, did you guys, Corey, did you study up on Shakespeare? I mean, was it like, maybe you know Shakespeare anyway, just because you're both actors, but did you say, I'm going to get back into this and whatever? Or is it sort of like, well, it's not really Romeo and Juliet. Doesn't matter.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
There isn't much like Shakespeare iambic pentameter in the show. There's a little bit of that. If there was more of that, I would have had to study up a bit more on that. I did a Shakespeare show like 5 years ago. I did Midsummer Night's Dream. That's pretty much my only experience with Shakespeare, performing it at least, outside of high school. Mm-hmm. But going into this and like reading the script, I did want to find out more about like the actual guy, like the actual man. And what I found out was that there's not much to find out. There are so many books written about him. And basically they all start with saying, listen, you know, we did our research to write this book. We looked at as much as possible. But the thing is, like, it's kind of all conjecture at this point. You know, there are little things like signatures he made on deeds throughout his life. So you could like at least put him in a certain area of the world at that time. But it doesn't really go beyond that. And it's really all just about his works that he wrote. Like that's what you have to know about the man. But there are little things like a picture was drawn of what they think is him. And, you know, he has a gold earring in this very iconic Shakespeare photo. So that's something where I could like, I read this book and I figured out, I went straight to Luke, our director. And I was like, hey, I got an earring. I always kind of look like when I get cast in a role, like, can I wear this earring? Should I not wear the earring? And he was like, well, yeah, he has this iconic earring in this like one photo that exists of him. Let's go with the earring. So like, that's a little thing, like kind of behind the scenes where after reading a book about a character who's like literally like no one knows anything about him, there are like little glimpses of things you can grab from a book like that or a website or a, you know, an interview that can kind of like inform the character a bit more and making it just a bit more personal.
Yeah, I thought he always looked like that famous picture that we all
know. Yeah.
But Michael, I think we have yet to say this is a jukebox musical. But it's also to me, and part of my review that I wrote this morning was that, which was an excellent review, by the way, so you know. But the review basically noted this is a jukebox musical among the best of them. But I also brought in the show Six, which I'm assuming you guys have seen. And I don't know why it struck me that way. It's the energy. It's the am I off base in that or do you?
No. It's very. I haven't actually heard that comparison, but now that you mention it, it is very similar in many ways. Yeah,
the brightness, the energy, the you know. And Michael, question for you: the strong women.
Yeah, Very much so.
So give us a little bit about the strength. We have Juliet, we have Shakespeare's wife. I don't think I'm giving stuff away
Right.
here, but let's
You're
just say
not,
back in the
yeah.
year 16, yeah, this is like written in 1596, something like that. I'm
Yeah.
guessing women weren't as strong as this show purports them to be.
Right. Which is kind of nice because Anne sort of orchestrates a lot of things. And the story is told very heavily through Anne's perspective. And so there's a lot of similarities between Juliet and Anne. And again, like it's Juliet gets this like fresh start in the show. So she's kind of making her own choices and kind of like going off the page and making stronger choices and maybe choices that wouldn't be quite as expected from just typical Shakespeare or women, how they're depicted in typical Shakespeare plays.
Yeah, and then Corey, we got to talk about the music, because if I say the name, Ma well, now I'm going to screw the name up. Max Fleet, is it? Did I got that right?
Max
Yes,
Martin.
Max Martin. Max Martin. Sorry. When I say the name Max Martin, let's be honest. Some people might go, I don't know his music. You do. You know, pretty much all of his music. And but here's the thing. So in a jukebox musical, like there's the Neil Diamond musical, where basically you get all of Neil's songs because he goes, and then I wrote this. But this is not that, and in fact, unlike ABBA, right, which again works, this is more like that, I think, where the songs show up when they show up, and there's so many times the audience just gets such a kick out of the song that's picked for a certain moment. What talk to me about just your sense of the music and just this reaction you have to get from the audience every night.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only like a blessing for the audience that that happens because, you know, nobody wants to just like slingshot into a song, you know, like many of these jukebox musicals do. It's also a blessing for the actors because we have it's a really solid through line for us, where it's not just like end a scene and then start a song. The way that David like seamlessly incorporated these songs into the narrative is at times hilarious, at times like super emotional, but it's always like rooted in story, which is honestly really rare these days. It's really easy to make a jukebox musical. You know, you put a scene here and then you put a song here, you put a scene here, you put a song here, and you kind of but the way that this was crafted is like scientific.
Right.
It's really beautiful. And as an actor, it's really
Yeah.
exciting to be able to be a part of something where like every day you're hearing these songs come up, and just the way that the lines seamlessly go into the song is like still like catches us off guard. It's like really
And when you
beautiful.
said David, you mean David
Actor.
West Reed, by the way, who but by the way, he had of Schitt's Creek fame, who wrote that show. So that right there, that tells you the talent you're dealing with. Michael, when I think of Romeo, certain things go through my mind about the kind of character he is. How would you, I'll tell you what, I'll hold this off for a second. How do you describe Romeo?
Romeo is like a puppy dog, okay? Romeo is very much so figuring it out. And because he, I think up until now, or at least where he's at in the show, he's just kind of been this like beautiful young man, and he was never like really like a prince or anyone of, you know, great importance. Other than being this like charming young guy, and all of a sudden he's getting, you know, potentially rejected, and he's like, wait. So he's just recalibrating, you know. But at the end of the day, even though he's maybe made some questionable decisions, he's a puppy dog. Yeah, we love Romeo. At least I do.
Do you think, Michael, I'm going to stay with you on this. Is Romeo, I'm not sure Romeo has changed from when he first met Juliet before everything happens in that play. But let's just say that at other times in this production, I feel that Juliet has changed. Romeo may not have changed.
I
Is there?
think, yeah, I would say by Romeo kind of changes more so by the end of the show. Whereas like Juliet kind of gets the start at the beginning of the show. She's making strong decisions and she's making the choice not to end her life. And then from there, she gets like a fresh start. Whereas Romeo, I think it at the end of the show is where his like journey probably begins. And that's kind of like chalked up to imagination at that point.
Wasn't Romeo kind of like the pretty guy in the football team in college, something like that in his college class?
Absolutely. There's also like a line about that, which is like so great in the show. It's keyed in very well.
And Corey, here's the thing. You said you don't need to know Shakespeare, and you do not. And I'm no Shakespeare expert. We all study it at some point in our past. But what I love are the references that even if you don't know it, you kind of know they're true. I mean, and I don't think I'm ruining anything here, but just this notion of, Romeo and Juliet, after all, they were together for 4 days before all this stuff happened. And just those kinds of little references are great. They're just so funny. But I do have to add, this is a fact check. There's several times in the show that Shakespeare takes credit for a line or a saying or a phrase. I don't know. Are all those true? Does he get that credit? Do you know?
The whole scene about all of those phrases that he originated,
Yes.
those are all real.
Okay.
So
Somebody asked
he
me that, and so I.
like with bated breath, foregone conclusion. And there are so many more than that. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of phrases that we use in the like current vernacular that were originated in works by him.
Gotcha. That's good to know. I will pass that on. And Corey, I'll stay with you on this one. You've had a couple of Chicago audiences now, but you've been touring the country. I'm biased. I think Chicago audiences are amazing. What are you getting a certain warmth, a certain, because Chicago audiences, I will tell you this, they're smart, they're sophisticated. What sense are you getting?
When you get to a big city like this, and I was just thinking of this last night, and it doesn't matter the city. It like the big cities in New York, like New York and LA and Chicago and Boston, they're not afraid to laugh. Sometimes, you go to like I don't want to name any cities, but you go to a
Go
smaller,
ahead.
a smaller suburb, quieter city, you notice that like there aren't as many individual loud laughs because I feel like people don't have the allowance or maybe the confidence to be able to like make themselves known. Does that make sense? And sometimes when you come to a city like this, you've got last night we had a cackler.
Oh my God.
Like who was I don't know what gender they were. It was some crazy like laugh
And it
that
was
was.
always that like the small nuancy things. Because
I
there
think I know.
are
I to be
like
honest with you,
there's
I
a
actually
bolt
know.
laugh.
I know who that is. But go ahead.
You know who they are.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. But his laugh can be heard everywhere.
There were a
It's
few of them last
amazing.
night. There were a few of them on Tuesday, and I just noticed that in a bigger city like this, people are they. I feel like they're allowed to express themselves in a way that maybe someone in a smaller town might just like do a smaller laugh because they don't want to be noticed or they don't want to be. You know what I mean? So our audiences here have been really awesome, and you can tell right away. You can tell in the first scene. There's a few. I kind of open the show with this like beautifully written, hilarious scene where we do larger than life right into I Want It That Way with my wife Anne. And within like the first four lines, we know exactly what this audience is. And it's really crazy. And usually an audience will kind of stay the same throughout the city. So when we go to a new city, we're waiting on that first day, on that Tuesday, to hear, are they going to be cheering loudly? Are there going to be individual laugh? Is there going to be individual laughter? Are they going to be on their feet at the end? And that kind of stays the same throughout the city. So, it's beautiful to tour, to go to all these different cities, to like not only see the physical space, but also to take in the audiences and the people and how cultures can be so different, and you can tell just based on like what they're watching and how they're reacting.
And by the way, you're in a beautiful theater. Cadillac Palace is one of the old classics here. And you get to St. Louis and you got the Fox Theater. I mean, just these cities that have these amazing theaters, which are
And this
wonderful.
time,
By the way, what's that?
fourth time at the Palace.
Ah, that's right. That's right. You've done other shows. By the way, Michael, you can let the actor who plays Francois know that just a half a block from the theater is a restaurant called Francois Frankie's.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah, we're supposed
We
to go
wanted to go
there.
there for our opening night party, but they close at 9. Tell them they got to stay open for Anne Juliet.
I went to see something recently. I couldn't get. I know they have crazy hours there, but the French onion soup, the whatever. You'll really have a good time, and they have a carousel bar in the front. Really good if you get over
Oh,
there.
cool.
Michael, let's do a shout out to Juliet, Rachel Simone Webb. She was on our midday show the other day. Just knocked my socks off. And by the way, while we're doing this, Teal Wicks, I got to tell you, who plays your wife, Anne, all the voices in the show are amazing. Those two women are stunning. And their voices are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're legendary. I mean, Teal is. I mean, we all knew who Teal was coming into this. I mean, I've known her for years, but you know, we're the two oldest in the show, and you could really tell like the energy, like when she walked in the first day, that like everyone knew who Teal Wicks was.
Yeah, we were all fanning a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's like a legend.
No divas though. I don't sense any divas here.
No, she's an amazing person.
No divas in the show.
Everyone's very eccentric, and that's also nice to see when like audiences are relating, because it's like, oh, that when you were saying people are laughing at the little nuancy things, it's a really great
cast. Well, that's what I said. I think you're going to find, I mean, Chicago's pretty sophisticated audiences. They're just good theater.
They're a smart audience, for sure.
I know that playing Broadway, and by the way, Corey, one of the things on your Instagram thing was I think you had just been cast to get this national tour, so we see that little run that you do over, and you end up under the Anne Juliet sign.
I don't know what you really like, that was, the Anne Juliet theater was one, you know, you walk through a parking garage from Mary Lee Rural Long Theater, and you were at the Anne Juliet theater, so we decided to do a fun little thing.
And
there,
you talk somebody into bringing the phone along with you to get it all recorded. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
You get a couple of weeks. By the way, Michael, what do you do? I'm just listening to what Corey said before. What if you go into one of those suburbs that shall not be named in another state and you have an audience on the first night that you're going, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Is it like every night, like, it's a challenge, or do they surprise you? Maybe by the second night, they're better.
You know, I think Romeo's written really brilliantly in a couple ways, more ways than one. And I think that there, like I said, there are some moments in the show where like there are always going to be laughs because they are built in so brilliantly. Mm-hmm. But what I love is when people start to laugh at those like little quirky things that like not everyone picks up on, like, you know what I mean? Like the little things, something that might be going on the side or something. It's nice to hear those reactions. But yeah, I would never say that there's like a, like, uh-oh, at least for me.
No, and I do want to clarify, it's the difference between like a boisterous audience and just like a calm, respectful, reserved audience.
It all makes sense. They're all great audiences.
Everybody loves it. One of the funniest shows I've ever been a part of. Yeah. And like, there's never an audience where like no one is laughing.
Right. Someone is going to relate to everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's a line that's written funny or just like the transition going into a song that everybody knows and everyone has heard it at one point or another. Whether you like musicals or not, people are going to like react to that.
And the good news is, for those, I don't think I'm ruining anything, for those who want to dance, they're going to get a chance to just kind of have some fun at the end. I do have to ask this, though. There is a number where the audience could join in like this.
Yeah.
And I noticed you had about a half of them doing it. I'll be honest. I sat there. I went, I don't know if we're really supposed to do this. Are we supposed to? Do you want us to do that?
Yeah, you're kind of supposed to do it. But, you know, the great thing about the show is that, like, the fourth wall is broken a lot.
Yeah.
Especially by my character and by Anne. And I think that kind of sometimes will take an audience off guard and they're not totally sure if they're actually being talked to or not. But in this show, I think it's clear pretty soon, once the curtain raises, that like this is going to be an experience where like the audience, it like has the opportunity to get involved, which is like, which is kind of beautiful, but it's not in like a masturbatory way. It's like, it's a very,
It's inclusive.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
Well, it is. It's just so amazing. And of course, they call you William throughout. I'm thinking today we'd call you Billy. I don't know. Billy Shakespeare. But anyway, the show is so mom. The high energy. As I said, it's for folks who love musicals, jukebox musicals. This is just among the best of them that I've ever seen. I was not only disappointed because I had been waiting to see it, but I was so pleasantly surprised. You guys are just amazing in the show. The cast is amazing in the show. I wrote in my review as well, the blending of those voices. I'm going to a choral concert with how strong everybody is.
Yeah.
You're only here till December 15th. So get to Garrett's Popcorn and Cheese Corn. Get over to, you know, Lou Malnati's Pizza. You got places you got to get to. And Corey can take you because he's been here several times. So check it all out. It's at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. Break legs every night. It's fabulous. I'm sure I will be back. I'll see you again. It's me in the third row waving at you when it's all said and done.
Perfect.
Thank you, guys.
Nice to meet you.
Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.